views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the leading edge of personal, social, and global transformation, the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, is making connections that inspire and accelerate individual and collective awakening. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers from around the world to explore social change, the generative power of conscious, co-creative practice, and what's emergent with health, science, spirituality, and the evolution of consciousness. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibilities, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello and welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Thanks for joining us here today. Hey, think of the word change. It's everywhere. It feels as if everything around us is in a change or transition. Some call it evolution. As structures are breaking down, new evolving innovations and initiatives are breaking through, new forms, new templates, new ways of being and doing in the world. Well, you are likely very well aware of how the practice of medicine and the delivery of healthcare are in the process of major change, major transition. What is going on? Why and how is medicine evolving? And what would the optimal healthcare system look like? I know many of you have ideas about that and would like to see some major changes. Our guest today says he has a couple ideas, and I'm really excited to ask him. He has a passion to revive primary care and to accelerate the evolution of medicine. So I invite you to take a few deep breaths, bring your awareness into this moment, open your mind, connect with your heart, and settle in for a good conversation on the evolution of medicine as I introduce my guest. James Maskell is founder and CEO of Evolution of Medicine, empowering doctors to deliver remarkable care focused on prevention and root cause resolution of symptoms. He is the host of the biggest web show for doctors called The Functional Forum and the annual Evolution of Medicine Summit. Welcome, James.
Such a pleasure to be here with you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it is my pleasure. You know, my career got started way back when in the actual medical model, and I have a great appreciation for what you're doing here today and can't wait to talk about the evolution of medicine, reviving primary care, and all the work that you do. The very first thing I like to do, James, is I have a tradition here on the show that I like to ask my guests. It really sets us into a consciousness that's important to me. And so I want to start by the question, James, what does all things connected mean to you?
You know, it's really interesting. One of my favorite quotes is on holism, which is really about all things connected. The first person to coin the phrase holism was Jan Smuts, who's actually a statesman and one of the first prime ministers of South Africa. And he said holism was the tendency in nature to form wholes greater than the sum of the parts through creative evolution. And I love those last three words, through creative evolution. And in the introduction to your show, you're really talking about this evolution of consciousness, evolution of medicine. And, when I think about all things connected, I think about holism, I think about that quote, and I think about, the sort of the medical paradigm, because that's the world that I'm in. You know, in the old system, in the acute disease system, it made a lot of sense to have a gastroenterologist and a you know, and an endocrinologist and a rheumatologist, and they all have specialties in their own area of geography in the body. But, you know, the next generation of what we need to really get hold of chronic disease, which is the emerging epidemic now, is an understanding of connecting those dots, connecting those areas, connecting all of those different parts, understanding the connection between the different parts in the body. And so that's what jumps out to me when you say that to me, Julie.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate that. I think when, you know, so many people are talking about holism, and I love to look at it from all the different filters, and through medicine is one of those biggest ones that I think is really on the mind of a lot of people. You know, bringing all of it back together again seems so important. James, let's just talk to our listeners a little bit before we talk about some of the solutions of how you personally got here. You know, do you have a story of why is medicine and the evolution of medicine so important to you, and how did you begin this career?
Well, I was a weird kid at school that did natural medicine. My parents were involved in that world, you know, what you'd probably call self-help now, but this was the 80s, and I guess it was probably called spiritual education back then. And so, I sort of grew up in that world, and I had a chiropractor and a homeopath, and, you know, we saw a holistic dentist, and I didn't really realize that that was weird until I got to school and no one else had ever heard of a chiropractor. And, you know, I had my typical rebellious phase where I thought my parents were insane, and I ended up doing economics and being an investment banker. And after about 6 months on the trading floor, the biggest trading floor of the world in London that I worked on, I just, you know, had a moment where I sort of realized that this was not what I was put here on this planet to do. And, you know, and also that what I had learned growing up to do with, you know, understanding holism and understanding, you know, primary prevention and those kind of ideas, you know, we're going to be a driving force in solving, you know, what is potentially sort of and you know, probably practically the biggest problem in the world, which is American medicine. It's the biggest industry in the world, $3 trillion a year. And, you know, the quality of healthcare, the numbers, the, you know, the end results, life expectancy, mortality, these kind of things are not getting better, haven't got better since the 60s, and in some cases are getting a lot worse. And so I just thought that I could apply myself. That was a ladder that was sort of worth climbing to me. And so 10 years ago, almost exactly, it was July 2005 or June 2005, I left the UK and came to America and got right into the trenches of health creation and haven't really looked back since.
I like that. Let's just talk about that term. You know, you like the quote of through creative evolution. I love that too. And you just use health creation. And I think that's a good term for our normal daily consciousness to pick up and really explore that, because health creation is very different than the medical model that we're used to. So what does health creation mean?
Yeah, we have a model right now, and it's pretty obvious to anyone who participates in it, which is pretty much everyone at a certain point, that we have a disease care system. And you know, that made a lot of sense in the, you know, in solving acute disease. You know, in an acute disease model, which is what we had in the majority of the 20th century, those were the big epidemics, infections and trauma and that kind of thing. It made a lot of sense to have a reactive model, to have a model where something happens, you react to that happening and you provide a solution. And that worked for a long time. However, you know, now when we face a lot of chronic disease, but it's not the same strategy, doesn't really hold water. You really need to get into understanding health creation, and it's not only a completely different skill set, I would argue that it's actually almost exactly the opposite. There are so many ways, and we can go through some of those ways of viewing it, that the skills and the structure that is required to actually reverse and prevent chronic disease is literally the opposite of what you need to do with acute disease. And so that explains why the medical system is so slow to evolve to the modern epidemics. You know, we've had these epidemics of heart disease and type 2 diabetes and obesity and now all the autoimmune diseases. These have been rising for a long time. So it's not new. We've had a while to work out that this is coming and we need to work out how to treat these. But, you know, we've been very, very slow in evolving. And that's because the medical system, all of the education, all of the structure, all of the technology was all designed around acute disease. And so we're involved here with the evolution of medicine, trying to help medicine to evolve more quickly to these new epidemics. And, you know, that's what I find myself doing now. But health creation is really the word or the combination of words that sort of summarizes what I feel is necessary in building a system that is capable of dealing with both acute and chronic disease.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So it is an important topic for us all to look at of even just in taking personal responsibility for our own health. And I love that you're working with the industry, and I am looking forward to hearing how you're doing that. And we're going to do that right after the break. But before we take a break, I want to make sure our listeners know how to find you, James. So can you give us your contact information, your websites?
Yeah, if you're a patient, the best place to go is probably at this point is reviveprimarycare.com. On that site, you can identify sort of a provider in your area who, you know, does root cause resolution medicine. And if you're a practitioner or you're in the industry or otherwise, you know, we have this show called the Functional Forum, which is the first Monday of every month. We actually recorded it last night. And if you go to functionalforum.com, you can watch past episodes of the show. You can go to our YouTube channel. We've got a podcast. So we've got a lot of different ways to interact with us. We're really focused at the moment on the doctor side of things, but our long-term vision definitely includes integrating with patients. So we're just sort of building both sides at the moment.
Great. And I'm going to encourage our listeners. I know I've listened to the Functional Forum and, you know, I am a practitioner as well, but I think for the general public, they're going to learn something if they tune in there. So that's revivingprimarycare.com and functionalforum.com. When we return from break, we're going to talk with James about what does this new evolving medical system look like and what can you do to help yourself as well. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Encapsulations is committed to producing the most complete line of research-based nutritional supplements from fish oil to probiotics to multivitamins and more. Available through qualified health professionals and community pharmacists, finished products are pure and hypoallergenic to optimize the long-term health of all patients, even the most sensitive. With Pure Encapsulations, you can rest assured that you're getting the purest and highest quality nutritional supplements available. Ask a qualified healthcare practitioner about Pure Encapsulations today and discover why it's the supplement brand of choice for healthcare professionals worldwide. For more information, please visit www.pureencapsulations.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Doctor loves quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you anxious and worried? Do you feel stuck with fear and insecurity? Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My breakthrough and empowerment program has helped thousands to overcome their emotional challenges. Join me for the upcoming Breakthrough and Empowerment video seminar series, which starts on April 8th. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to find out how you can transform your life in just 3 months.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. My guest today is James Maskell, and we're talking about the evolution of medicine. And right before the break, James, we mentioned what does this new delivery system look like? What does the optimal medical system, what might it look like? I have to tell you, I broke my leg. I had a traumatic injury 7.5 months ago and multiple fractures, and it's been a long ordeal. And my first practitioner that followed me, I kept saying, I have something wrong with my knee. There's something wrong with my knee. And he kept saying, no. If it's just from immobility and the cast and all. And I'm like, no, there's something wrong with my knee. And I tell you what, being the patient and having this doctor telling me that what I was telling him was not true and there was nothing there, that was such a peculiar place for me to be. And finally, got the MRI, had significant diagnosis, 3 separate problems, and the whole treatment plan changed, and I now have a doctor that I'm partnering with, and it feels so much better. So I think that this whole evolution of medicine, and really it ties into the evolution of consciousness, in my opinion, of how people really are taking responsibility for their lives and their bodies and everything about them. And I hope that's part of what we're going to talk about here. I'm anxious to see what you think the optimal medical system might look like. But there's this need for us to really take responsibility and find partners instead of looking outside of ourselves for authority. So, James, help us out. What is this new potential medical system? What does it look like?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think that, you know, that your leg is a great example. I mean, obviously, one thing that we do well, certainly in America, is acute care. So I think we're doing well with acute care. And I think in the case of, you know, you're probably in the best country in the world to break your leg. You're probably in the best country in the world probably to get an infection. Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, but you know, it's the other diseases, the chronic side of your, you know, issues or the side effects that come from the acute treatment in this case, you know, where you need a bit of a different strategy. And so what I would recommend is sort of separating out the two, because they're fundamentally different. And I would say, yes, absolutely. You know, the future of chronic disease management is empowerment. You know, it really requires a participation on behalf of the patients. You know, an acute disease, it made a lot of sense for you as the patient to just have the medicine done to you, to have a sort of a medical centered system where, you know, you were seen by a doctor. Because if you break your leg or if you get an infection, you want the doctor to sort of take over and fix you. But for chronic disease, that model is not effective. You need to be a participant in your own health. And so that's really the emerging structure that we're seeing, is that for chronic disease, it's a participatory system. And there are certain other, you know, foundations that it's built on, but you're absolutely right. You know, the future of medicine isn't going to be something that is done to you. It's going to be something that you participate in through your own decision making with regard to lifestyle, you know, food as medicine, stress reduction, exercise and movement. You know, these are all parts of health creation, and this is not done in the doctor's offices. This is done outside of the doctor's office. Now, the doctor can be a partner and be an empowering figure in the process, but it's certainly not, it's certainly not running the show.
Yeah, very good. So James, in this optimal healthcare system, and literally even a lot of that is preventative for the acute things, not just only the chronic things, but let's go into those a little bit and talk about that. What would partnering with our medical professional look like when it comes to really those basic fundamental needs that we have?
Well, the role of the professional and the doctor in this case, or it might be, you know, there's lots of the professions that are sort of stepping in to play this role. You have nurse practitioners, you have osteopaths, you have even certain, you know, well-trained chiropractors or oriental medicine physicians who are sort of stepping into this role of, you know, sort of primary care, sort of chronic disease management person. But their role is really to do, you know, you do what you do in the processes. You control the things that you control with the lifestyle. But what you need help with is identifying the particular causative factors that have led to you having the set of symptoms that you have. And that's not an easy job, and that's not necessarily anything that you can do as a patient through, you know, Googling or going to WebMD, right? You need the eye of a professional in there to help to unpick the complex web of causative factors that has probably led to your chronic disease. So that is the role, is that, you know, that I see the practitioner is more like the detective, and then the, you know, the patient is more like the operative. They're the one that's actually operating the system. And so, you know, I think that's a strong partnership. So it's not equal. They're not doing the same thing. And they each have their role to play, but it's a participative role for the patient. And also, you know, part of that, Julie, is that, you know, fear has been a very strong motivator in the old medical system, like fear of disease, fear of this, fear of that. Fear has been a motivating factor. What I see is that doesn't really work in this model. It needs to be based on really on empowerment. And so, you know, that's another skill set that practitioners and providers are having to learn, is how do you motivate without fear? How do you motivate by empowerment? And that's been one of the central things that we've been looking to teach and educate on in the functional forum and our other educational offerings.
James, that brings up a really important question for me when I hear you saying that, because there's two parts of this new emerging paradigm. There is the patient and the practitioner, and I know a lot of practitioners that are really frustrated with patients who don't take that personal responsibility. So how do you motivate individuals to really adopt healthy lifestyle choices, understand their food as medicine, you know, reduce and manage stress and move their bodies? How do you do that? How do you help practitioners to motivate patients?
Well, it's very interesting. You have to learn a new skill set. And it's interesting, there's a coaching skill that is not actually a medical skill. It actually came from business, but coaching is a real skill. And that's why health coaches are now being employed by doctors. You know, we've been on the cutting edge of seeing these new models arriving where you have people with coaching skills in a medical, you know, in a clinic setting. Lots of nurses are going to get coaching skills as well. So, you know, those kind of skills are useful. And basically, how do you enact behavior change through empowerment? The most important thing is you have to find out why people would want to be healthy. You really have to engage patients into their why. And the why is going to be different for different people. You know, you have these symptoms. These symptoms are kind of annoying. They're chronic. You know, you could, by some aggressive lifestyle change, you could probably reduce or reverse those symptoms or reverse the disease. But you haven't done it up until now. So what is going to make you change? And typically what that takes, Julie, is actually the fundamental skills of being a doctor. If you go back to being what a doctor used to be, if you go back to, say, doctor as teacher, which is where the Latin comes from, doctor as, you know, as listener, you know, listening and the ears and the hands and all of the sort of basics of what a doctor used to be, that's really what's required. It's listening, it's taking time with patients, It's spending the time to ask the questions, to really identify what the patient's triggers will be and what will motivate them to make the behavior changes in the other 167 hours a week that they're not in the doctor's office.
Thank you for that. I think I love the idea of health coaches, and I am seeing them not in the rural area where I am, but I have with different colleagues that I have where they literally are teaming up with life coaches and health coaches. And actually, I just had a health coach say to me, it was Saturday, when I was talking about my leg and getting back into physical therapy in 2 more weeks and doing what I need to do to walk again. And she said, this was so helpful, helping me create a vision of what it would be like when I'm all well again, when I'm healed, when I'm at my optimal health again, and what would that really be like? And it came down to me finding this image of me dancing at my son's wedding in July. And when I could do that, I'm going, yeah, that's part of my empowerment, is really thinking about that next place of when I'm in my optimal health again, I'm dancing at my son's wedding in July. So I think it's very effective. Thanks for bringing that in. I think that's great. You know, James, we just have another minute before break here. And after break, I'd really love to get into the chronic diseases a little bit more and really look at food as medicine, too. I think that's a really important topic for our listeners, of one way that they can really take their own power back and create, do that health creation that we're talking about. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, more with James Maskell and the evolution of medicine.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com, or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more, and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Hello, we're back, and you're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. I'm here today with James Maskell, talking about the evolution of medicine. And I said right before the break, I'd love to talk about the chronic diseases and what does food as medicine look like. But James, I know I'm gonna change the order here because you just got back from doing a TED Talk. And I think it's fascinating to think about what you talked about. So I'd love for you to talk to our listeners about your TED Talk and then just imagining what would a optimal healthcare system look like if we could create it from scratch. So tell us about your TED Talk.
Yeah, so I mean, the question of how to create a healthcare system from scratch really came out of being invited to speak at that TED event. So it was actually in the island of Guernsey, which your listeners may or may not know is a tiny island between England and France, and it's a tax haven. And one of the most interesting things about it is that it's not part of the EU and it's not part of the UK. So it actually has sort of the smallest bureaucracy of any nation. And the organizer of the TED Talk, they have a vision to turn Guernsey into the best place in the world to live by 2020, and asked me to come and give a talk on, you know, what a health system would look like that could get them to be there. And so that's what got me thinking about it. And I spent the last, you know, 6 months preparing for that talk and thinking about, you know, how would you do it from scratch? Because their intention, their project is not to ask for anyone's permission to evolve the medical system, but actually to sort of build something from scratch right now. For one main reason is that, you know, there's probably a lot of venture capitalists out there that would love to have a 63,000 person sort of petri dish to try out new ideas and techniques, and that's what the population of Guernsey is. And so that's, you know, that's what got me thinking about it. And I gave my talk on healthcare from scratch, and, you know, it was very well received, so much so that I've actually been, you know, sort of speaking and consulting with the health minister of Guernsey, and, you know, giving him some ideas about some programs that he could introduce to, you know, start moving forward with some of these thoughts.
Oh, that's incredible. James, what are some of the basic tenets of that? What might it look like? What is your imagination coming up with?
So the main thrust of it, Julie, is the main thrust of everything, and this is what it all builds around, is community. So if you look at the healthiest places in the world, there are places in the world where people live to 100 consistently without as much chronic disease. And those are called the blue zones. There's a guy called Dan Buettner who's done a lot of work on this. Very, very fascinating. There's one in Costa Rica, in Japan, Loma Linda, California. There are these small groups where people live to 100 consistently. Now, with all of these places, they don't have very advanced medical systems. It's not like more medicine gets you more health. In fact, more medicine typically gets you less health. There's a cost to that. There's, you know, the external costs of side effects and so forth. So if you look at all of those blue zones and what they have in common, there's a number of things in common. There's definitely food as medicine. There's definitely stress reduction. There's definitely a few other things that we could talk about. But the real focus of what really separates them is community. In all of these places, they have a really strong sense of community where people, you know, eat together, cook together, pray together, they play together. You know, there's a real ongoing sense of community that really enables very healthy behaviors. None of those people in any of those blue zones exercise. They just have movement as a regular part of their life. They don't go to the gym. They don't do CrossFit. They don't do yoga. They just have that as a regular part of their life. So that was super interesting. And, you know, so that's what we focused on is community. We looked at the external community, a support network of neighbors, but then we also looked at our internal community. Some of the most exciting research that's going on is talking about the microbiome, which is the microbes that live inside of us. This is our internal community. So we spoke a little bit about that. And then we also looked at the sort of the technology aspect, where we have this technological revolution, this digital health revolution, which actually empowers technology in ways that can't be done physically. And so the thrust of my talk on what you would build, the principle on which you would build a new healthcare system from scratch, would be based on community and people supporting each other and peer-to-peer support, because there's no advantage taken of peer-to-peer support in medicine. And yet you see that, like, accountability, vulnerability, All of those things are possible from peer to peer, from patient to patient. And so that's what I would build it on. And the good news is it's much cheaper to build a system on, you know, root cause resolution and community than it is to build a really high-tech medical system with all the gadgets and gizmos. And so, you know, that's an exciting proposition too, because obviously we want to reduce healthcare costs. We want to really, you know, keep people well and keep people out of the system. And, you know, it's actually cheaper to do that all the way around.
Oh, that is brilliant. James, I want to applaud for you right here. And I think that you're onto something really fascinating. And I just want to really tie this into a bigger picture. When you're talking about health creation, this community piece is what a lot of futurists and a lot of evolutionary visionaries go to create greater growth and expansion in health and evolution. Is it's about that connectivity. So I love that you're talking about community and building this more cohesive, resonant, connected community. Of course, that would encourage more health. I love that. I love that. Good for you.
I've got another great quote for you, Julie. You know, I love a good quote, but I have these two quotes that I've, this quote that I'm going to use now is one that was actually in my TED talk. And it's attributed to Thich Nhat Hanh, although it's sort of questionable whether he actually said it. But I love it anyway, so I just say it, which is, community is the guru of the future. And that's what he shared, is that, you know, in the future, it's going to be community that's the real guru. And we can see that in so many different ways, you know, whether it be people getting better health outcomes, you know, whether it be like the technological community. I mean, you've got your community of listeners on your show that you positively impact. Doesn't cost them anything, you know, to listen and take advantage of the information that you're sharing. It's groups, it's communities around the world that are, you know, that are able to be built either physically or digitally, that really hold the key to being able to, you know, hold the key to reversing and treating chronic and autoimmune diseases.
James, I'm curious, when you talk about the digital technology, because you're really exploring that as well, as far as this optimal health system, is connecting through digital, through virtual connections, online, social media. Are you seeing any research or any trends about the difference between really connecting in person, face to face, eye to eye, versus creating community online?
You know, I think they're different, and, you know, they each serve different types of purposes. You know, I think that in certain types of ways, you know, you really can't replicate, you know, you really can't replicate the one-on-one human interaction and getting together. However, if you look at the way that medicine's going, you can see a lot of value that's being driven and created by technology, you know, that's allowing that not to happen. You know, there are lots of people in the world that are very isolated. You know, there are people that are physically isolated, can't leave their house, you know, and can't have those people. And yes, you need people coming around to see them and so forth and developing that community. But I know a lot of people that have really found great communities online, people that are supportive or otherwise. And, you know, when I say technology empowering community, you may have in your idea what I mean about that. But I would just say that whatever you think, there's like 10 other ways or a million other ways that could happen. And so, you know, community and technology is being used in so many different ways to, you know, to accelerate this evolution of medicine. And what we're really interested in at the Functional Forum is, how do we actually get medical systems that have not had community as a part of their strategies at all to be able to now really include community and really understand the power of community and how to integrate that into medical systems. And there are clinical models for that. There are practical models for that. There are technological models for that. But that's really the, you know, the what I see us doing more and more in the next few years is really engaging different kinds of health payers, whether it be businesses, patients, governments, organizations, on how they can really access the power of community in their health system.
Wow. You know, technology is a huge piece for all of us and evolving the world in almost every different realm of life. And it'll be interesting to see the role that technology plays in health. And, you know, one of those pieces is that I think we're finding is it's also empowering patients to be able to go online, research things. And of course, we've got to find that balance of where they can go to that coach or to that healthcare provider outside of themselves and not depend solely on that technology.
Exactly. You know, technology is a net, you know, is a sort of a, you know, a net neutral. And so it could either be used very, you know, powerfully and for benefit, or it can be used in the other direction too. And so, you know, what we're just looking to do is empower those people with the right intentions, basically. You know, if you have the right intention with what you're going to do, you're probably going to use technology in a safe and, reaffirming way. And so we want to make sure that, you know, those people who do have the right intention for what they're doing have the best access to the tools that can, can really accelerate the process.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, it will be fascinating to watch it unfold, just like we're watching, you know, all the fitness technology and other things that people are just integrating into their lifestyle, and yet really encouraging people to step away from the technology and get back into nature again. So I'm sure you have a lot to say about that too, but we need to take a quick break. I promise the listeners we'll talk about food as medicine. I think that's an important piece of this puzzle, and I know when we're looking at that internal community and that even our gut, there's so much important things for us to learn. And so we're going to take a quick break. When we return, more with James Maskell and the evolution of medicine.
Hi, I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip for the day. What is abundance? It isn't the same to all of us. So what's your personal gold? Is it the full expression of yourself in business, or in love, or in the creation of a book or product, or the service you offer? All of the above? When we step into allowing our joy that corresponds with our essence, we are literally coming out of the closet and making new choices. We look and sound different. We don't even talk about the same things anymore. We have a new spark. So wouldn't it make sense that it causes ripples and earthquakes around us? When you shift, you affect everyone around you. You're teaching people to step into all that they are, and they will come to you and say, "What have you done? What makes you different?" Join me on Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and let's go deep with your abundance.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start winning the game of life with the unique, incomparable Lynn Brown. Lynn's powerful, transferable tools stem from her success in the very competitive world of sports and business.
Since Lynn was one of the top athletes in the United States, she understands really well about the athlete's mind, their challenges, and what athletes need. I have confidence to ask Lynn to take care of my professional team just because of Lynn, her passion, and the power she has.
Lynn is passionate about working with kids and with athletes. Her life is a testament to the incredible power of intention to create miracles. Lynn is dedicated to assisting and inspiring leaders with the vision and tools to realize their dreams.
And she wants to help you next. Enhance your overall performance and the ability to reach your goals. Bring your game face on. Visit letter R, letter U, Intuit.com or call 844 letter B, Intuit.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
We're back and you're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Thanks for tuning in with us today. Hey, if you love this show and you want to go listen to the archive later, go to thedrjulieshow.com. All the archives are there right there on the page, and all the upcoming guests are there as well. So if you really want to listen to more on the evolution of medicine and find James's contact information, just go to thedrjulieshow.com. But if you want to find him directly, remember you can find his primary website for listeners is reviveprimarycare.com. If you want to refer this work to a practitioner that you love, or you are a practitioner yourself, go to functionalforum.com. They have a forum event every first Monday of the month. It's really quite incredible. And then stay connected with us all week on the Facebook page, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie, where we continue the conversation. James, it's been a delight having you here today, and I really would be remiss if we didn't talk about some of these fundamental things that our listeners can do besides moving our body more and learning to manage stress, which we talk a lot about. But really, there's a real big part of this new medicine when we look at what food is. And I have to tell you, autoimmune disorders, they run rampant in my family. I have more than enough family members with autoimmune disorders. And several years back, I literally changed my diet, and it made a world of difference. I tell people I couldn't walk a half a block, and my doctor, my labs were off the chart. She was wanting me to head to the rheumatologist and wanting all these invasive things and medicine to step in. And I just did what hopefully a good, what do I want to say? I better not say that. It might sound like a judgment. But I went to books, I went to the research, and I learned about food, changed my lifestyle, and I've never been healthier. So let's talk about food as medicine. What do you mean when you talk about food as medicine?
Well, I think it's just the most obvious and rational way in which you can actually have an impact on your health every day. You know, and so what we're seeing more and more is that, you know, a lot of these chronic diseases, acute diseases typically have one sort of issue, one factor that drives them. You know, you get an infection or you get hit and you're trauma or you break a knee or a leg or whatever. The chronic disease is normally a progression over time. And so, you know, typically that can be, you know, bad nutrition over a period of time. The first cheeseburger doesn't kill you, but the 10,000th probably does. And so, you know, that's really it. So, you know, what we're seeing is that, you know, when it comes to food as medicine, it's really treating food as medicine. And, you know, food has been seen really as fuel, but it's really energy plus information. And you're giving the body information every time you eat. And what you really need to do is to send, you know, there's a lot of doctors that are a lot better at communicating this end of it. This is not my sort of area, but I certainly have, you know, been to enough conferences and seen is that, you know, there are certain foods that are really inflammatory. And there are certain foods that are, you know, that shouldn't really be eaten by humans. And, you know, I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of like trends on what you should eat, you know, should you eat gluten, should you eat dairy, you know, all these kind of things. And I would just say, you know, I think a lot of what you see in the mainstream literature is sort of, is a sort of basically a reflection of our sort of, communal eating disorder. And so I would say, you know, if you're looking for basic principles and you want to do food as medicine, you got to eat food that's real food. I mean, this is not simple. It's not difficult. If it comes from the ground or if it's, you know, raised by humans in the ways that people have been eating, you know, for thousands of years, then it's probably good to eat. If it comes out of a packet, if it has a barcode, you know, then it's probably not. And, you know, we're about 60 or 70 years into this sort of food manufacturing experiment, and it's not going that well. And so, you know, if you look at the blue zones, you know, they eat a lot more plant-based food. I would say that eating more plants is certainly one way that you can improve your sort of food as medicine quotient. And, you know, there's certainly an exciting trend when you see so many, like, farmers markets and CSAs, and sort of dedicated ways of getting produce directly from people, from the farmers to the end user, and cutting out all the middlemen. So, you know, that's really my thoughts on it. You know, I wouldn't go too deep into any of the different trends, although I think things like the paleo diet is useful because it's really thinking about, you know, what have we been eating? You know, what's right for our evolution and what we've been eating for the last 10,000 years versus in our history. I think that's useful. But I also know that a lot of people can't deal with meat and are not healthier with meat. And so, you know, I think as a general rule, if you want to say what's good for most people, one is to really get in, you know, monitor yourself, you know, get an idea of when do symptoms occur and try and get an idea of what happens with what foods. But I think the basis thing is to eat stuff that grows from the ground. I mean, if you do that, you're not going to go far off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. It's a simple way to look at that. And I think it also ties into the question of what are the root causes of disease? And you brought up one factor that a lot of people talk about besides the imbalance in our system, the inflammation. Inflammation is really a big part of a lot of chronic diseases right now. What else do you say when you talk about root causes of disease?
Yeah, well, you've got, you know, inflammation is important. Inflammation is a great healing tool in the body. That's why you get inflammation when you have a cut or say, but if it's chronic, if it's there all the time, that's a signal that something's really off. So I would say, you know, that is a big thing. Obviously, chronic stress can over time lead to organ dysfunction. Toxicity is a big one. It's an emerging one. And you're seeing, you know, tons of science starting to emerge now on low level toxicity over a period of time, turning to chronic disease. I think, you know, a disenfranchised relationship with the microbes that live in our gut is definitely driving chronic disease. And that comes from overuse of antibiotics and Purell hand sanitizer and not getting into nature enough, not spending time in nature, not getting your hands in the dirt, not having a pet, not, you know, opening the window. We spend so much of our life indoors. That's really unnatural. Light at different times of the day. You know, there's a lot of new research about, you know, bright lights, fluorescent lights, blue lights in the middle of the night, you know, when you should be, sleeping and the sort of the cycle. And that's probably a whole talk by itself. But those are, you know, some of the major causes, I would say. And what I've said before is I really feel like chronic disease in general is driven by a cascade of these negative externalities, sort of all interacting with each other in a very complex web. And so that's why you need the role of one of these practitioners to be able to unpick that web, you know, take some of those factors out, see how things change when you change your diet, when you implement stress management techniques, when you get more movement going, and then be able to sort of clear a path for you to get to optimal health. But that's the difference, is like the new medical paradigm is you're running the show. You, the patient, are running the show, and the doctor is guiding you with their testing and their ability to understand and perceive what's going on at the root cause. But it's driven by the patient, and that's the major difference, and that's why it's such an empowering message, because you don't need anyone's permission to start right now.
Oh, I love that, James. This is wonderful. And we only have a few minutes, but I'm curious how you're experiencing the physician part of this equation. Are you getting receptivity from the younger docs right out of med school, or what kind of receptivity are you getting?
Well, there's a lot of factors that are playing into it in a really positive way. So it's good news. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening that are pushing doctors away from where they are now. The ICD-10 code, Obamacare, you know, these are things that are really making it difficult for doctors to be successful in private practice.
Yes.
And so, you know, we see a lot of doctors that are getting disenfranchised. There's horrible rates of physician suicide, which is an absolute, you know, just one of the biggest, most horrible problems, I think. You know, these are people that have trained their whole lives to help people and are committing suicide in record numbers, which is really sad. But what I would say, yes, doctors, particularly young doctors, see the way that things are moving along. They're interested in these types of techniques. They're free thinkers. They're interested in being on the cutting edge of, like, separating themselves from other doctors. And, you know, also, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of science emerging now. You can't really look away. You have to pay attention. And so I'm excited and I'm very hopeful for physicians. And our goal with the evolution of medicine is to empower physicians to start their own integrated micro practices, practicing this type of medicine. And that can be done in every state of the union. It can be done in every country in the world because it's a low overhead, community-focused, face-to-face, interpersonal model.
Oh, wonderful. So listeners, I'm going to encourage you. This has been a wonderful show, James. Thank you so much for sharing all this. And I encourage you, go to reviveprimarycare.com. And if you know practitioners in the world who are wanting to do this evolution of medicine as well, refer them to James. And you can also refer them to functionalforum.com. James, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate this.
No problem. Thanks, Julie. Such a pleasure to be on the show and really appreciate your work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you, listeners. When we get back next week, we got another good show for you. So thanks for tuning in this week and have a great week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.